Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Bradford Show.
That's my open?
That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hit Bradford.
That's my open.
I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion.
Bradford Show. That's delicious.
All right, big announcement. Big announcement. Bradford Show, 4 times a week. That's Monday, that's Tuesday, that's Wednesday, that's Thursday. Why are we doing this? Because we want to take this whole thing to another level. We had a great year last year, but we want to go to the next level. And I think this is the best way to do it. There's still going to be all the interviews, all the stuff we did before, but we're just going to do it more. This is going to be the best baseball fix you can get in podcast form out there, I think. So we'll give it our best whirl. Hopefully you're going to enjoy it. And, you know, I think that the first way to crack open this whole new way of doing things is by having a great conversation with Manager Lou and Pitcher Nick. Manager Lou Maloney and Pitcher Nick Fryer. We talked about the media in baseball. So what I wanted to talk to you about these guys was basically, are we covering baseball the right way? I don't know. It is such a weird dynamic right now in terms of how people are consuming baseball, why people are consuming baseball, why they are or they aren't. I see the numbers. I see the numbers on the podcast. I see the numbers on the website. I see the callers on the radio station. And Lou has a great perspective of this because he desperately wants to talk about baseball. And people say, why don't you talk about baseball more on the radio? Or why don't you do this? Or why don't you write about it more here or there? Well, you know, it's a good question. So we take a deep dive into it, and people love the media, and they love all the drama. So we talk a lot about that entire dynamic. So also, before we start, I'd also want to say thank you so much to the people at Awaken 180 Weight Loss. They have literally changed my life. I'm down over 33 pounds as we sit here right now. So I can't thank them enough. I plead with you, go check them out. Awaken 180 Weight Loss. You'll be hearing more, much more from them as the season unfolds. They're going to be right here with you, right here with me, right here with the Bradford Show podcast. But let's kick things off. Manager Lou, Pitcher Nick, right now.
All right, baseball season's here, for lack of a better term, because for lack of a better term, I mean, baseball season isn't really here yet, but it's the week of the opener, and there's no two people I'd rather have staring right down the load of a barrel gun. Manager Lou, yes.
You want me to be looking at a gun right now?
Schilling is the only person I've ever seen come to a radio studio with a gun.
Ooh, I did the show.
You did the show?
With him with a gun.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was Tomasi.
Oh, no. He was with us.
A third person in there.
He was with us, yeah. Three of
really?
Us.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's. Were you scared?
No, but it was uncomfortable. It was weird.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not a big gun guy, so let's do this podcast with no ammunition, no firearms.
All right.
So, Pitcher Nick, one person you just heard, Pitcher Nick, and Manager Lou.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Fryer, Lou Maloney. Welcome. Welcome to the podcast studios of the Bradford Show. We built it up for the new season. You like it?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I love what you've done.
I missed the lava lamp, though. I'm not happy about that.
It's coming. We're just getting it, you know, reorganized a little bit, turned upside down. You've never even seen a lava lamp. You don't even know what you're talking about.
You make up what this room looks like all the time, and now you're going to go and criticize me for that.
I haven't seen a lava lamp.
No, you've grown up in the era of the
lava lamp. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Your mom had a lava lamp.
Well, no, it's like Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
It's like,
do you think they don't make lava lamps anymore now? Just because people don't buy it doesn't mean they don't make it.
Oh, yeah. They probably do. It's Spencer
they do.
Gifts
I've seen
or something. You have?
Yes.
What is the purpose of a lava lamp before we get into this? What is, I mean, the
to light up a room, Rob? I mean, I don't know. How many minutes are you hoping to get out of talking about a lava lamp?
I was just going
to
say, you know, we could.
Nothing says,
what should we talk about?
Nothing
lava
says
lamps
2018 Major League Baseball season more than lava lamps. It is the year of the lava lamp. But that aside, because Pitcher Nick and Manager Lou.
There's not many things that are better like than, like, back-end bullpen or 25th man or roster questions than lava lamps.
Right,
I would say that's still better than lava
lamps.
Okay,
here's my pro segue leading into that. So the way that we're talking about baseball nowadays, all off season in the spring training, people almost would rather talk about lava lamps than the back end of the bullpen, the competition for the last utility spot, all of that. How many times, Lou, have we heard this narrative from, let's say, the minute spring training started till the minute the first pitch is thrown on Thursday? There's nothing to talk about with this Red Sox team. There's nothing to talk about with baseball. And so what I wanted to do here is find out, are we doing something wrong? Like, are we honestly doing something wrong when it comes to covering baseball?
No.
So I heard your show today.
Mm-hmm.
We're taping this on Friday. I heard your show today at 11:50. Now, walk me through this. It sounds like Glenn said, hey, you want to talk about baseball, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said that?
Yeah.
We're going to have a baseball Saturday. Well, 11:45, 11:50. So, boom, there it is. No joking around. No, like, sort of a baseball ha-ha. No, it was an honest attempt to talk about baseball. So you did. For 10 or 15 minutes, you talk about baseball.
Yes.
Well, how'd that feel?
Not good.
It didn't feel good.
No, because that's the reason why. We're not doing it wrong. It's just that there's some people that aren't interested in it. So it's tough to have a discussion if people you're talking to aren't interested in it.
But it's more about the people you're talking to, not who's listening.
But that's what I'm saying. So, like, there's people out there that are interested in baseball that still would like to sit and talk about what's going on in spring training. But, the game, the interest here, I think that team last year, I don't think people really enjoyed it. But I just think it comes down to, if you're not interested in baseball, then there's nothing to talk about. It's like anything else.
Well, and to that point, so you're in there with Glenn Ordway and Christian Fourier. And this is one of the reasons I wanted to bring you in. It's the same reason, like, when you hear Dale on the hockey podcast, the Zero Pucks Given, it is a different Dale. It mm-hmm. is a right? Have
yes.
you listened to this?
Yes.
Completely different. It was, oh my goodness, the passion about talking about that thing. And I know, Lou, and me, I'm the same way. You hit the sweet spot. We're going to talk about it. But when you're in there with Glenn and Christian, my sense listening to that was Glenn was trying. But it was like when he's like, oh, the Tampa Bay, they just figure it out. I mean, that doesn't tell me anything.
See, yeah. I was told by somebody that Christian's actually the best on that show about talking about baseball, but he doesn't want to rip Lou apart during the show.
That's fair.
That's true.
During the breaks, he corrects him on every little thing.
If I had the capability of giving a drop right now, I would get the drop where...
It's no big deal. I mean...
No. Yeah. No, once... I talk
You're
about
gonna
it.
You're going to draw out the drop now?
No. One thing that you had said, did you hear what Tampa Bay's doing? Right? This
yes.
is a conversation. And there's a pause, and it's Christian's turn to talk, and there's like,
No,
what?
Like, well, they didn't hear, so I mean, I don't, you know.
Well, come on, but
not everybody knows that the Tampa Bay Rays are going a four-man rotation, do you?
I know, but doesn't it?
With a bullpen day.
This is
so stupid.
Dumb.
Well, this is part of the conversation about the whole American League East. You're opening against Tampa Bay. There's been plenty written about this, and so I'm not really blaming them. I just don't think this is. I think this is a byproduct of this no interest, and it's this sort of forced no interest. But are we missing something here in making a better effort at finding?
Well,
more interesting thing
so
about
many
this game.
People are just invested in the Patriots, and they assume that's all you should
talk
about.
It's
Patriots,
defaulting,
Patriots,
though. It's defaulting to it. Don't
yeah,
you
exactly.
sense?
Yeah, absolutely. But that's the number one talker. I mean, and you look at this week, you have that stupid list with the 20, the most dominant athletes. You talk about that, Brady, the drama. There's always drama added there. There's Gronk. There's a whole bunch of different elements. They're more interested in talking about, you know, the lineman that you add, right, the backup offensive tackle versus talking about...
But that's where you get the calls, too, right, though?
Yeah.
I mean, you're more likely to get calls on that or response on Twitter or on the text line.
It's just the way it is right now.
But
I mean, the Patriots,
talk about it.
Yeah,
okay,
the Patriots
so
are the biggest draw in this town. I would say the Celtics are probably number two, and the Bruins are right there right now, number three. Given the timing of everything, the Red Sox, it's you know, teams are going into the playoffs. There's a little bit of a lull, but still, I just think that right now there's other things going on. The fact that it's quiet down in Fort Myers is probably a good thing for that baseball team.
Yeah,
but there's nothing to talk about until we start seeing games.
I think Mutt asked that the other day. Is like, are the Red Sox aware about how quiet it is? I'm like, yeah, the players are psyched about it. The business-wise, you have Christian Vasquez gnome night on April 28th against Kansas City.
Oh, my.
That's a sign that the business side of it probably isn't thrilled they're not talking about it.
I think the other thing that you run into, especially with Lou's show, is that Lou is not to kiss your ass or anything, Lou, but he's very knowledgeable about.
You're
good
at kissing ass on this podcast.
No, let him go. Will you let him talk, Rob?
Thank you. Anyways,
so I can totally change my tune if you want, Rob. Take two seconds. I bring you in here, Lou, to talk baseball and have your ass kissed. You're welcome.
No, thank you. Yeah. Nick, please continue.
Thank you, Lou. Anyways, what I was saying before I was rudely interrupted was that Lou can be intimidating to talk baseball with because he knows so much about the game, whereas on the other sports, Lou's kind of on par. I don't want to do that to Lou. He's a step above some of these other guys.
He's not intimidated when Christian talks about football.
I know, but Lou can talk about all the stuff pretty much. I mean, I don't think Christian can as well. It's really can't talk baseball where he can kind of hang with Lou.
This is what I'm fearful for the coming year. Yeah, you're talking about
work.
I like Christian. I'm not trying. It's just that
he works at it. You know, it's the same way with me. You know, whatever. Starting up, so it's baseball and hockey are two things that we don't discuss openly. Mm. It's Celtics and football mainly. If you were to ask me.
Right,
you know, and I think that's. I think anybody would say.
I'll admit this when it comes to hockey. When hockey's brought up, and I think like this is what you know hockey, which is probably of you can admit like
I've always said, and I really believe it that like honestly, there's nothing beats playoff hockey.
Oh, I know.
And I mean that. Nothing.
Well, there's
football,
the biggest
basketball, baseball.
There's the
nothing.
Biggest difference between the regular season and the playoffs of any other sport.
It's incredible,
right? But in terms of talking about it, you know as well I do. This like Eddie Andelman. Go back to Eddie Andelman. Like he made fun of it or whatever because he didn't know anything about it. And I'll admit it. I mean, that's my fourth sport. So I'm going to shy away from it, probably like Christian's going to shy away from baseball. But my overall point with this conversation is as we spring training aside, as we get into the season, are we doing this the right way? And I'm not only talking about on the radio. Are we covering it the right way? Are we reporting it the right way? Should we barstool it up a little bit more? And should we do things like I know that like you did the story for us on the ping pong stuff down there, right?
Hard hitting stuff.
But you know,
and I've talked to you about this before when we had Tomasi on that one time where it gets too much into the numbers game, and that is an easy way to turn people off because you turn it into math class. Half the people out there hated freaking math class. You go and talk about math more and more and more in the sport. You don't have that same level of that in football or in basketball. I don't think you do with hockey so much. I'm not as
That's what I mean. Like, why is the coverage of baseball have to change? Has it changed in the other sports? Has it changed in football? Basketball
no,
or hockey?
No, well, football, I don't think it needs to change because the sport's so powerful. And let's be honest, you know, part of football, too, and baseball had this going a couple years ago with DraftKings. Football, the fantasy element of football is huge. And I think that has kept that demographic. It's once a week. And so here's the answer to that. Yes, it does, because it's every single day. People get exhausted of it every single day. And what was besides the price stuff last year, the most memorable game, one of them, was when John Farrell got in this enormous argument.
Well, I remember last year, it's like the only time we ever really talked Red Sox was when something negative came up.
Right.
Whether it was David Price, whether it was Pedroia in Baltimore, whether it was something about Farrell screwing up. Like, that's the only time you ever talked about it. But I don't know. Sometimes I do wonder that the people that like the game still like the game, and we're all trying so hard to fix a game that some people sit there and say, I don't mind it. I know it's not for everybody. And that's fine. It's not for everybody. Mm. A lot of people think it's boring.
Right.
That's okay. Well, I don't think speeding a game up 15 minutes is then going to make someone think it's exciting.
No.
I don't think changing the coverage or how we talk about it is going to make some of these people think it's exciting. I think you either like it or you don't. I think if a team is likable and it looks like they have fun and you enjoy watching them, all right, then maybe you'll watch a little bit more.
But I do think that I know as writing, from the writing perspective, you know, people talk about clickbait and things like that. That dynamic has changed. Alex Speer just did, just before this podcast, he just dropped one of these epic, awesome Alex stories about Cora and the clubhouse and that whole thing. I think that story might be more accepted like 5 years ago or maybe even 3 years ago than it is now. And this is the weird part about The Athletic, which is coming into Boston. The Athletic, their whole thing in Boston Sports Journal, their whole thing too was, we're going to give you journalism back. We're going to cover it like it used to be covered. But my question is, is that the smartest move? Because the ping pong stories I just wrote a story about Aaron Judge and Justin Haley playing Fortnite. And I'm not saying that should be the coverage, But it almost seems like you almost have to have more of that to draw the people in to talk about the stuff we want to talk about.
You have to have little weird things to talk about. I mean, when you talk about football, you don't just talk about the X's and O's of the game. You talk about the drama leading up to it, all the BS going on in the locker room. And I know with the Patriots, there's not that as much, but then you have all the teams that go and challenge them and say how Brady's overrated, this, that, and whatever. With baseball, I feel like the talk generally is more focused on what's going on the field. And then you have, you know, the numbers. I love hearing talk about what's going on in the field. The numbers, I get bored with that, and that comes more so with the writing side of things.
Well, Lou, on top of the radio, you do the baseball show on NBC Sports Boston, and I heard you and Kirk go at it, and I agree. Like, this isn't sort of the good litmus test. These shows leading up.
Oh, no, these shows are
right.
Awful.
But when you get into
talked about it. We're going to do the show from like 9 to 10, which is a better audience. And the baseball show or any other baseball thing, as you know, anytime you preview something, it's awful. Like, you know, coming up, that's not a talker. So we're doing like 1 hour shows at a bad time of day, 4:30 on a Sunday, when no one's reason why we're going to 9 anyways, on stuff that might happen or reaction. When the games start, Then you can judge, right? Once you have something to react to, that's about you being entertainment and how
but
you talk.
But it's not
about
only reacting to, like, this is a spot also where, much like you remember, we used to do the baseball show here, baseball show here. This is a time where we know that, like Sunday Skate, we know that you are going to be allowed to dive into some of those numbers, Nick, you're talking about, or dig a little deeper along the lines of what that 10 minutes was today. That is accepted. So my question is, when you're doing that in that slot, which I don't know, like the 985 does calls it the baseball reporters, but I don't know what they do. I don't know necessarily if they're diving deep. They're probably.
But my thing is this: is there any like niche show?
No, that's what
that
that's
people
what I'm
think
at.
Are entertaining. But because there'll be, I mean, if it's a Bruins right segment or a Red Sox, a baseball segment, there's going to be a group of people that said, oh, my God, put a gun in my throat right now. Like, I can't stand an hour of just Bruins talk. It's so boring. Or an hour of Red Sox talk or Celtics talk. It's so boring. Like, I feel like those shows, there's going to be a very loud audience that thinks that they suck. Because, you know, okay, fine, you're not the group we're talking to. We're not putting on the hockey show for you because you don't like hockey, obviously. Right. So it's not for you. Mm-hmm. I expect you not to like it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to do a baseball show on Sunday nights. It's not for someone who thinks baseball sucks and is dying and is going away. It's for someone who likes baseball.
But the problem is that part of that audience that thinks baseball sucks is growing.
Yeah, that's a great point. So you're right, Lou. Yeah. But the challenge is, and you can't just sit there and accept that. The challenge is you have to expand that, and that's what baseball is facing here, which is that core group is getting older, obviously, is that core group. When they do Winter Weekend at Foxwoods, they, we get 7,000 people here. Yeah, 7,000 core people. But how are you going to expand it? So when you have those shows, when we write our stories, when we do those segments on the radio, do we have to approach it differently than we did before? And for lack of a better term, like, barstool it up a little bit. And I think that some places try to do that. Maybe you even try to do it on the baseball show. I don't know, since you've been doing it on TV, if you've evolved at
all. When you say barstool it up, do you just mean swearing?
No. I know that you guys tried that. I know you guys tried drinking before. I know you've gone down the list of things.
I think he means going off the beaten path.
No, I mean, like Carrabba's today, he posted the Andrew Benintendi has a girlfriend.
Yep, saw that.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things that I think that he does a good job of, barstooling it up, is bringing in people. So when you want to have those conversations, okay, you're not only entertaining me, but we're having that conversation. I'll ask you again, have you seen that change at all? How many years have you been doing that show, the TV show?
Probably 8 years, 9 years.
Have you really? Holy mackerel.
Probably started in 2009, 2010.
Really?
Good for
you. But it's different things. It used to be a Saturday morning show.
Right. Oh, I remember.
Right?
Yeah,
used to be three freaking hours.
Yeah, oh, I remember.
Holy shit.
You remember.
Oh, I do.
But what I'm saying is, like, when you say barstool it up, like, I don't think him talking about Andrew Benintendi with a girlfriend is barstooling it up. I think the article says,
see, barstooling
Benintendi, you got to be fucking shitting me because no more Benny biceps, fucking shit, and fuck.
But barstool,
you know what I mean?
Like, a little bit too, though. It's not anymore.
I understand that, but I think that is like the cool. If you take these guys on barstool and you can't swear no more, in a lot of younger people's minds. It's like they're not as cool anymore. So, I'm just saying, really.
That's fair.
The cursing aside.
How cool are you if you're talking about bullcrap? I think that is bullcrap.
Yeah.
No, you sound like this. You say bullshit. Now you sound like something.
I understand. You drop the occasional f-fuck into a column that everyone like, yeah.
Can we swear on this?
Yeah.
Yes.
I should have asked beforehand.
Demographic exactly. Over 12 years old, but under 50.
Right, okay.
But what I was getting at wasn't necessarily the way that they present it, but the topic they're doing. If I did that, think about it. Think about any of these other outlets, or go down and cover spring training and do the Andrew Benintendi has a girlfriend. Now, I think I know that there's a value to that because all you have to do is see the responses. If you want to see the clicks, all of it. Like, there is a value to that. So that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about barstooling up, because there is still most of these outlets, Nick writes for some of them, I write for one of them. It is hard to make that leap, and I'm just saying, do we need to...
Is that going
to
get people to like baseball again?
Maybe.
It might.
Maybe.
Because you become invested in more than just the game, you become invested in the athletes. And that's one thing with basketball, you have, everybody's invested in the athletes. I mean, look at LeBron. They're invested in him more so than the Cavs or the Heat when he was there. They care about LeBron and his brand, and this is the case with some of the other players, too. He's just the
best. But
is
that the media's job or the team's job?
Well,
it's
our job
to market their players.
It's our job because if we can't just sit there and say this team is boring.
So your job is to make baseball and people like baseball more to the media?
Our job is, if we're assigned to cover baseball, our job is to make people care about that coverage.
To care about the team. I understand. Okay, yeah. I think that's going a little bit too far when you're saying it's the Boston Red Sox marketing and PR department that their job is to get people caring about Mookie Betts and Benintendi and Xander Bogaerts. It's their job get people caring about their product.
I think what Rob's trying to say, and I agree with him on this, is that you want to be entertaining. I mean, we're not just like, news reporters out there who have to be serious all the time with everything we're covering. I mean, we put our opinions into stories constantly. So having stupid little stories like that once in a while, as dumb as they may be, and handling them accordingly, because if you read that ping pong story, I was not serious throughout the course, but I over embellished in some of the things I was talking about.
You lied.
No, I mean, just mean like how, I talked about, Eduardo Rodriguez was devastated. Oh my God. I talked about how Eduardo Rodriguez was devastated by the news that he sucked at ping pong. Things like that, where I was kind of trying to be satirical as much as there was truth to everything that was said. But my point is that you go and have these odd stories as opposed to just what's going on the field. Because the other thing is, Lou, a lot of the writers, they're not analyzing the players outside of the numbers. They don't. It's just that's just kind of the way it is. They're not either capable of it, or they don't want to do it.
That's part of the problem. It's sort of like, to me, the way I look at it is that when you write stories now, the headline becomes more important than the story, because you are never going to get to the story unless you have the good headline. And a lot of times that's the tweet.
And it's about clicks,
right?
And it's all about
you're not going to get the clicks if you don't and you want the clicks because you want people ultimately to read your good work. And I think that's what we're talking about. That's what, when I come back to my original question, do we have to change the way that we cover baseball, whether it's on the radio, whether it's on TV, whether it's in print? Do we have to do some of the other stuff? And you're right, Lou. The Red Sox aren't going to cooperate in a lot of respects. These personalities, remember we had these conversations. Mm-hmm. You were down in spring training. Are they going to loosen up? Are they going to show more of the personality?
What you're saying, though, is you want to actually talk more about the players' personal lives.
No.
And do you think that they're willing to open up and talk more about that?
Used the Benintendi example as an extreme. My point is that you're going to have to get outside of the numbers and outside of stuff that we love talking about. We love talking about the stuff that you talked about, right? But you have to get them in. You have to get them in. I'm not saying you guys did anything wrong. I'm just saying this is sort of, for me, I've looked at this season and I'm like, we can't do it the same way. We can't keep talking about baseball the same way that we have before.
The other thing is, Lou, there were a couple stories I did for the Providence Journal when I was down there, and two of them were, I talked to Benintendi about his workout routine and everything like that. And I know people had kind of gotten a little thing from them. I think it was at Red Sox Winter Weekend, I think, Rob, something like that. But I talked to him a little bit more about it in detail. I feel like that's something that would interest people that wasn't written, and it had been how many months? So I did that in the first week of March. And then the other thing I talked to Jackie Bradley about was how he has not won a Gold Glove yet, which is ridiculous. I think we can agree on that. I asked him about his opinion on it and how he became a better fielder. Things like that where it's not really barstooling it up, but it's kind of talking about things that I feel like fans give a
damn. But the danger is, so
if they like baseball.
I'm just right. Example, a casual fan.
I understand, but I'm just saying, like, somebody who is like not interested in the game would sit there and say, "Those are terrible examples." I don't really care, but you know what I mean. Those stories are great for you, and I'm interested too because I like baseball. But I think the person out there that right now that's jumping into that group of people that are like, it's boring and they can't watch it through, you know, watch the game is dying, would sit there and say, dude, I don't really care about Benintendi's workout either. And I don't care whether Jackie Bradley doesn't think he should have won Gold Glove yet.
If you concern yourself with the people who are outside, you have to concern yourself with people who are in there too, who might be on the fringe. You know, they're starting to like baseball, add those things into it too. I feel like someone who kind of likes baseball, has questions about it, wants to learn more, that's something that would interest them a little bit. Then you have those other ones that Rob's talking about where you reach out to some of the people who don't know much about baseball, don't give a damn about baseball, but you know they kind of want to, you know, this interests me. And then having another story like
there's
that.
There's a lot of that. Like, I almost feel like, you know, if you like baseball and you think something is interesting, you should do a story on it because you think it's interesting. And if somebody doesn't, then that's sort of what can I do?
Listen, when I sat down and wrote a blog entry on Blake Swihart being the Red Sox pinch runner. This isn't exactly expanding my audience. I get that. I totally, it interested me, so I wrote about it. But my point is, I want to do those stories. I want to do the stories like Alex did. I want to do all these stories. But we have to do some of this other stuff. We have to start making it more interesting. And that includes the broadcast. I mean, that includes the broadcast. That includes our station. That includes the TV stuff.
Like, I'm just saying, for example, like for me, if I went down there and I did a segment with like Dan Lavangi just about pitching, and I just had more to really focus around like 12, 13, 14, 15 year old kids' age. Should everybody just learn to pitch from the windup? You know, minimize the movement, you know. Then we say, I did a thing with the hitters, too, with the talking, what is launch angle? You know, what do you do when a 12-year-old dad walks up to you and says, my kid wants to just hit the ball in the air all day long because I just saw Josh Donaldson video? So we did both of these things for like 10 to 15 minutes. And I thought they were interesting. And I was excited for people that actually said, you know what, I think this is going to be actually very interesting. Oh, those were a lot of fun to listen to. Let's put them on a website or put them up or do whatever. And it was nice to think that people still think they're interesting. But I'm well aware that there's going to be a large group out there that are going to sit there and say, oh, geez, that was riveting stuff. It was awesome. What was launching? I'm so interested in that stuff. What a waste of time. Like, so I understand there's going to be people that just aren't into it. No, but all I can do is try to do things for people that are.
Right, but
you can do both.
I don't know if you can.
Of course you can. Like, here's an example of this. Here, when you're talking about your spring training coverage down there, and I saw those, they interested me. I would be interested to see how they did, you know, on the web or whatever. Glenn Gleason and Bill Messina went around and did their camera guys thing. And they did, it was quick, it was funny. That's the type of thing I'm talking about. So I'm not saying that, hey, Lou, don't do your instructional video and just do this. I think that you have to have a lot of the both. Like when you did the sit downs with Evan with players.
Yep.
I didn't watch them, but not because of you, but because Evan was on.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And I was watching his face. And
I try to just forget about that part of it too.
You see his face like when he's like, listening to these guys. You know how Evan is. Like when you're talking to him, he doesn't pay attention.
The real funny thing is, we have rewatched a bunch of those, and it's like the three of us. But Evan thinks that when I ask a question, he's off camera. And me and the other guy, me and the player might be talking. He thinks he's off camera, and he's looking at the camera guy, and he's like, hey, afterwards, can we, and then what should I, and then I'm like, dude, you're still on camera. Like, what are you doing? He realized, after he sees it, he's like, oh, my God, look at me. But yeah, he's all over the map.
Not a single Brad Fo show.
But they went well.
Without mentioning Evan Drellick.
It's all right.
But they went well.
No, they went well, but there was an element of like the, when you did Kelly, did you do Kelly and Priscilla?
No, with him, I just did Sale, and I did Hanley.
Okay.
I thought both of them, they came out afterwards saying, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, yeah, actually, no, you're not.
Right, but
we're not the devil.
But there was a mix, right. Yes, you are not the devil.
Not the devil. We can still
That is what spring training is all about, where we are first identified as not the devil, and then a month in, we are identified
until I say something you don't agree with, and then you're the devil again.
But you were, I would imagine there was a little bit of, like, lightheartedness and goofing around, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So you draw them in, and when you're going to take a clip from that, most of the time it's going to be like, oh, Hanley, TB12 or it, like that. That's a good example of people. Oh, my goodness. Football, TB12, Tom Brady. What's he doing? All I'm saying is that I think that we can make it a little more entertaining and draw people in to talk about the things that we really love talking about. I just feel that way.
If you just talk about the launch angles or the workout routines for these guys, then yes, you'll definitely keep, you know, the audience that you have right now. But at some point, unless something changes at the youth levels where people start getting more invested in baseball, maybe with football dealing with numbers issues in high school and stuff, that'll affect it. I think it will. But if you just stick with what's going, like what we've been talking about now for years and years, I feel like all the other coverage to some level is changing.
Yeah, but I agree, but I wonder if we are more and more listening to the loud minority that are just a bunch of assholes. Like, you know, I'm just saying that the people on Twitter, the people in text, the people on social media, like, they are so vocal and they're so disturbing to the point where we actually be like, you know what? Wow, I didn't realize it was this bad. We're only really listening to just a large group of people that are miserable. You know, and you could just talk about, like, ratings, and it's like, is it all proportionate? I know the ratings aren't great, but is it proportionate to what we actually think is going on? Because we think this place, nobody wants to talk baseball anymore. Are we just reacting to very loud minority?
That's a good point,
minority?
I think that...
Because there's still ratings, it's still going to the games.
So, I'm less concerned about the Twitter sphere as much as I am when it comes to page views. You know, one thing I've talked to Rob about before was when I was at Comcast, there was one story where I wrote about Barnes and remember how he started pitching up all the time with his fastball, trying to work off that curveball. I didn't know if it was intentional or not. I'd never seen a guy do it. I don't know if you had previously. I talked to him about it. I talked to Carl Willis about it. Thought that story would do well. It didn't do any better than any of the other stories. And I wrote other stories like that, and they weren't getting a whole lot of traffic.
But I want to go back to what you said about are we listening to this loud group of people who are saying baseball's boring? Well, this goes to the radio, right?
Maybe we're not. I don't know. Maybe
no. But this is where I feel like that this almost like this element of giving up on the radio with it. You gotta go?
No.
Okay.
No,
I'm just just checking. I like to be cordial to the host. I brought in the beer. I brought in the wine.
You're lying again. There's no lava lamp here, there's no beer, there's no beanbag chairs.
It's a very casual thing. When is sell it, Nick?
threw me under the bus before.
Are we doing this, you know, are we accepting it? And I know that it's a scoreboard business too. I know Joe Zarbano can see the numbers. Will you go back and say, hey, you know, people dropped off? But are we even looking at that?
So I'm just saying, like it's right now is like a week to go before the season starts. We looked the last two or three weeks.
But during the season, we don't talk about it either.
But I'm just saying that there's nothing going on now. And I agree. Maybe during the season, I understand. But we are making a huge deal of it now. There's nothing to talk about. Well, how much Celtics did we talk in September?
Oh, we
yeah,
could,
but I mean,
on Bruins in September.
We could. It would be a well,
how much Celtics Bruins and Bruins did we talk about in October?
A lot. Celtics a lot.
Bruins?
No, Bruins are different.
Celtics,
no one cared about
new.
The Bruins.
Okay, preseason Celtics.
It's
you talk a lot about
the
them?
People were excited about the Celtics. It was more popular.
Didn't you talk about it more than you talk about Red Sox?
I'm just
now?
Talking
preseason. Absolutely not.
Not with Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. None of that stuff.
Preseason? No. Preseason was like, all right, they're going to be good. They're gonna be good.
You mean as a station as a whole,
be?
Or you individually?
No, I'm saying like our show talks basketball a lot.
Yes,
but it was like how good can this team be? But it was September, so it was the Red Sox who were gonna be in the playoffs. The Patriots are playing right now. The Bruins were getting absolutely no love.
But this isn't changing. This isn't. We're talking about preseason. Mm-hmm. This isn't changing once we get to the season. They're gonna play the Yankees in April. And you know how much you're gonna spend, much time you're gonna spend on it, unless there's somebody does something stupid.
We'll see.
I mean, this is my point. I don't think you will talk about it.
Well, I'm just saying, like, we're basing it off of, and maybe I'm way off here, but we're basing it off of a team that came back without David Ortiz last year, and then David Price got hurt right away, and they had a manager that nobody really liked. So it wasn't very interesting team. I understand. So this year, and, you know, if there is no buzz, I personally think there'll be a lot of buzz with the Red Sox Yankees. If there is zero buzz, and there's only way you can talk about it is if you actually watch the game and have a reaction. So hopefully we do that, and then we'll see. We'll see if there's a buzz.
And you do the broadcast as well. We talk about the talk shows. We talk about writing. We talk about all this, the TV. The broadcast is another thing. I think the broadcast is changing, and I know that guys do it a certain way. They've always done it a certain way. But the broadcast is because people's attention spans are changing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, when you do it, you can feel that. You probably have felt it more and more and more in these years you've been doing it. You've been doing that for a few years too, right?
Yeah,
I don't think
that people. I mean, they don't watch the game like they used to. I think that's one thing the TV world is just refusing to admit, because we're going to keep talking about NFL ratings and baseball ratings and all these ratings, and nobody just wants to admit that people just don't stick around as much as they used to.
You know what's
interesting?
They watch
the games differently.
When NBC Sports Boston, mm-hmm. when they changed their format. And I think when I did the podcast with Sean McAdam, he was talking about this. The idea was you can go here during that show to react, right, to react. But I think what wasn't considered was people react. They react on Twitter. Why they have the game on.
Right.
Would that be fair to say?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a whole nother. And so I don't know how you integrate that into it, but you're right. People aren't consuming, whether it's on the radio or TV, nearly the same way. And that's where I come back to. Remember, I had the.
You're right. You watch a game with Twitter now.
Right.
I'm mm-hmm. saying, when you watch a Patriots game, you're sitting there as you're watching it. You know, I swear you got to watch it a couple times because you just don't watch it the way you used to watch it, or any game the way you used to watch it, because you're also looking at the comments from Twitter and the reaction, almost the analysis is coming from Twitter.
Yes.
A lot of times.
Yes.
Not so, just the reaction.
Right. I'm not turning the channel. In a nutshell, do we have to change how we approach covering baseball, Nick?
Yeah, to some extent, I agree with that, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Mm.
Lou?
I don't think so. I just think it's up to the product.
That's good. All right. It's good for another conversation.
Another day. And you know what? Maybe my opinion will change in a month.
That's how I like about you. You're very flexible.
Yeah, I am.
You're very pliable.
I'll admit I'm wrong if I'm in a month.
You're very pliable. All right. Thank you, guys.
You got it, Rob. Skinny Rob.
Hey there. I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.